Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Psalms. We'll be in Psalms chapter number 85 for our message this morning. Psalms chapter number 85, and I appreciate all of the good music we've enjoyed this morning. Psalms chapter number 85, and it is good to see many guests this morning, and we're thankful that you're here, and I trust that you'll be blessed by being with us this morning. And I realize you could be other places, but you chose to come to the best place that you could be on Easter Sunday morning, and that is right here with us. And so I trust that you'll be blessed and helped. And if we can be a help to you, we'd love to get to know you. If I haven't got the opportunity to meet you yet, I look forward to meeting you, hopefully after the service, and trust that you'll join us again in the very near future. This morning, I want to bring a message that'll be a help to us. If you have been attending on Sunday mornings, you know that I've been in a series on the subject of mercy. And aren't we thankful for mercy? Not getting what we deserve. I think all of us could say, I'm thankful for the mercy of God because I have not gotten what I deserve. I, as a preacher of the gospel, the pastor of this church, would be the first to testify. Thanks be to God, I have not gotten what I deserve because I am a sinner just like everyone else, but I'm a saved sinner this morning and a recipient of the grace and the mercy of God. And so we're going to stay in that series this morning because you know what ties in perfectly with the subject of mercy, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we're going to spend much of our time on the looking at Calvary and the crucifixion, because why is the resurrection important? It's important, first of all, because our Savior has conquered death and hell. But it's important because of what took place on Calvary and the payment of sins and the shedding of blood. And so this morning, I trust that this is going to be a help and a blessing to us. And my prayer this morning is for those who have already been saved, trusted Christ as their Savior, to be encouraged and be reminded of how good of a God we have and how wonderful of a Savior we have. But also, someone who might be listening either by live stream or by radio this morning or even in the service this morning, if you've never had that time when you can't go back to a place in a time in your mind when you've trusted Christ as your Savior, may today be that day of salvation where you get that settled. Psalms chapter 85, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture this morning, and from there we'll build our message today. Psalms 85, verse number 10. Look at verse 10 with me if you would. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Let me read that again. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. This morning, I want to bring a message I've entitled, When Mercy and Justice Meet. When mercy and justice meet. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you today grateful for the opportunity to be gathered together in your house. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the fellowship we've enjoyed, the music we've enjoyed. And Father, now as we come to the preaching of the Word of God, may our hearts be open and tender to you. May the Spirit of God speak to our hearts this morning. If there's one unsaved, may they realize their need of a Savior, realize Jesus is the only way of salvation. May they get their salvation settled today. Father, for the believer, may we be encouraged by what we are reminded of today. May we be thankful for your mercy and for your love for us. Bless our time together remaining, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are some things that seem impossible to bring together. Light and darkness. Life and death. Also, we could say justice and mercy. In our minds, those two ideas seem to pull in the opposite directions. Mercy on one side and then justice on the other. They seem to be pulling against each other. What do I mean by this is justice says punish the guilty. That's justice. But mercy says spare the guilty. Justice says the debt must be paid. Mercy says give one more chance. If we're not careful this morning as we think of these things and we think about our God, we'd say if he begins to be merciful, he somehow must be less just. Or if he is just, then somehow he is less merciful. But let me submit to you this morning that God is perfectly just. But he is also perfectly merciful. He is perfectly holy. He's perfectly righteous. He is perfectly merciful, perfectly just. So the question this morning is, how can God show mercy to guilty sinners without compromising His justice? The answer we see in our text this morning in Psalms 85. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. See, there is one place where justice and mercy come together. There is one place where righteousness and peace have met. There's one place where the guilty were spared without justice being ignored, and that place is Calvary. See, mercy did not cancel justice. Mercy satisfied it. And I'll get into the message in just a moment, but let's all be honest this morning. We are all in need of God's mercy. Why? Because we all fall under God's justice. I remind us, God is a just God. God is a holy God. He is perfect in His righteousness. He is perfect in His holiness. He is perfect in His justice. If He is perfect in His justice, then there must be a payment applied when there's a transgression. See, then comes in the God of mercy. The God who is merciful did not cancel justice. Mercy satisfied it. Stay with me this morning. I'm going to read a lot of scripture to you, but we say, number one, God cannot be merciful by ignoring justice. Sometimes even when we have a contrite heart for when we failed God, we say, well, God, I'm sorry. Would you let me off the hook this time? God, I'm sorry, could you just overlook it one time? And friend, let's just be honest. If we're breathing, how many of you are breathing this morning? Okay, a couple of you I'm worried about. That's why I asked. If we're breathing this morning, can I just say to all of us, God is merciful? Because we breathe His air. He keeps our heart beating. We live on His earth. He is merciful. But He cannot be merciful if He ignores justice. Friend, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and none of us are good enough to get to heaven. None of us are worthy of forgiveness. But see, before we can appreciate mercy, we must understand justice. See, God is loving. Can we agree on that? But He's not only loving. God is holy. God is righteous. God is just. Abraham said in Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The answer is yes. God always does right. Psalms 145:17 says, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. See, God cannot ignore sin because sin is a violation of His holiness. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think we could all come up with a pretty simple definition of the word all. It means everyone who has ever lived, anyone who ever would live, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not just the fact that we've sinned, it's the fact that that sin falls short of who God is. Romans 3:10 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. If we're honest this morning, we have to admit that we're part of that none. I'd have to say to you and admit to you that I'm not righteous. I'm not without sin. I'm not without blemish. But friend, you'd have to admit that as well. And the Bible confirms it when God says there's none righteous, no, not one. So you may say, Pastor, why are you bringing all this up on a resurrection Sunday? Because I need to remind every one of us that we all stand guilty before God. And because we all stand guilty before God, and by the way, you thought you were the only one that stood guilty before God. But you came into a church this morning with people dressed for Easter and with a smile on their face. And can I tell you, you fit right in because every single one of us stand guilty before God. And because of that, justice demands that the guilt be dealt with. We don't just stand guilty before God in a vacuum because God's justice and holiness demands that that guilt be dealt with. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's speaking of a payment of our sin. Death, not just physical death. We know that physical death awaits every one of us. But the Bible is speaking of a spiritual death because of our sin. That's where hell comes into play, and the soul is spiritually dead without Christ. Ezekiel 18, verse 4 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Not just speaking of the body, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. See, sin is an important thing for us to be reminded of and us to deal with this morning. Exodus 34, 7 says of God, "Who will by no means clear the guilty?" God would not be just if he simply pretended sin did not matter. He would not be righteous if he simply excused rebellion. See, we live in a world today that wants mercy without accountability. We want peace without repentance. We want forgiveness without consequences. But the Bible teaches that truth matters, justice matters, sin matters. God cannot save us by pretending we are innocent. You know why? Because we're not innocent. We are guilty. And justice says the debt must be paid. So I remind us, first of all, this morning, God cannot be merciful by ignoring justice. So God, who is mercy and who is just, meaning he cannot ignore justice just because he's merciful. Now let me say to us, number two, the cross is where mercy and justice met. Now, after we've established the fact that we're all guilty, and if you're still in denial of that, you're deceiving yourself. We're all guilty before God. You might be the best person in this room, but you still fall short of God, who is perfection. And that's one thing, and let me just stop right here for a minute. That's one thing the religious need to get a hold of. We all know that we're sinners. Why don't we stop pretending? You say, "Pastor, I didn't mean to come to Easter. I just came to get an Easter egg. I didn't mean somebody to tell me I'm a sinner." Well, friend, there's still one preacher in town that'll remind all of us that we're all sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. None of us measure up. Now, I'm not going to leave us there. I'm going to get to what God did on Calvary and the resurrection and why all that is important. But see, the cross is where mercy and justice met. This is the wonder of the gospel. How can God, who is perfect in justice and perfect in mercy, and how can we receive that mercy if he's going to be just? Well, that is the wonder of the gospel. Where did this take place, where righteousness and peace have kissed each other? At the cross, at Calvary. See, God did not choose mercy instead of justice. He satisfied justice so he could extend mercy. In Romans chapter number 3, listen carefully, in verse 25 and 26, the Bible says this of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now that word propitiation is a big word and not one you hear often. But the Bible says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That just simply means satisfaction. Right. See, God set forth the blood of Christ to satisfy the justice that he demanded. Jesus satisfied the righteous demands of God. Now the Bible reminds us this is for the remission, the payment of sins. It declares his righteousness. See, God remained just by having the satisfaction, yet he became the justifier of sinners. Justice was not ignored, justice was fulfilled. You say, why was this important? Let's be reminded of what the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53, in verse 5 of the book of Isaiah. He said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 6 of the same chapter says, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Think about that. Every sin, every lie, every proud thought, every act of rebellion, every failure, God laid it on Christ. See, the Bible is very clear. There has to be a payment for sin. We've already established through Scripture that every one of us is a sinner. Therefore, we must have a payment for our sin. And we're reminded at the cross is where mercy and justice, God's justice, demands that there's a payment for sin. We are reminded that our soul dies because of sin. That judgment time is going to come. But we're also reminded, as we've seen in Scripture, that all the sin was laid on Christ and He became our substitution. At Calvary, that is where justice was fulfilled, and through His blood, God was satisfied. Every sin, every lie. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." I'll not ask you to raise your hand this morning, but wouldn't you admit in your mind and your heart that you're a sinner? I would. It's the truth. We don't like to think about that, do we? But can I help you this morning? As I've already said, you're not the only one in here that's a sinner. Matter of fact, this might discourage you. You're in church with a bunch of sinners this morning. And if you go to a church that tells you there's not a bunch of sinners there, they're sending my line to you, because every church is full of sinners. But there has to come a time when we realize that because of our sin, there's a payment that must be paid. And we're reminded that God's mercy comes into play where His justice is met when Christ became that payment. And every sin that you've committed, every sin that I've committed, every sin that's ever been committed by any man was laid on Christ that day. And He paid the sin debt. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree." See, on the cross, sin was judged. Wrath was poured out. And with that, justice was satisfied. And because justice was satisfied, mercy could now flow. See, mercy, and can I just say to you this morning, get a little ahead of myself, God will save any sinner that wants to be saved. You haven't sinned sins that somebody else hadn't sinned, and therefore it excludes you. Well, aren't you thankful this morning, those of us who are redeemed, that God will save any sinner that wants to be saved? But that does not mean, just because God is merciful, that God is His saying sin is acceptable. Sin is not acceptable. And mercy meant God loved us enough to pay the price Himself. Sometimes in this world will tell you that you don't have any value. This world will tell you because you grew up a certain way, you don't have any value. Certain things happen to you, you don't have any value. Or you don't meet certain standards, you don't have any value. But may I remind you this morning that the value you have is measured by the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood for you. The value you have this morning is not by what somebody in the world says you have value or what your net worth is this morning. Your value this morning is the fact that there's a God in heaven who loved you enough that said justice has to be satisfied, that sin has to be paid for, so He sent His Son to shed His blood for your sin. Let me say number three this morning, mercy costs more than we realize. Sometimes we speak of mercy very lightly. We'll say tritely, "God forgives." Well, that is certainly true. But may I remind us this morning that forgiveness did not come cheaply. Mercy is free to us. How many are saved this morning? See, mercy did not come, it came easy. It was free for you and I. Boy, I can think back to when I got saved as a child. I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell. I realized that Jesus paid that price for me. And I put my faith and trust in Christ. And from that day to this, my sins have been forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. And if you've done that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know how much that cost me? Nothing. You know how much I had to pay for that? Nothing. You say, "Well, Pastor, did you have to get baptized to get saved?" I got baptized because I was saved, not to get saved. I didn't have to join the church. I didn't have to swear an oath. It was just simply, God, would you have mercy on me, a sinner? It didn't cost me anything. But don't make the mistake of thinking because it won't cost you anything today. And friend, if you're here and you've never gotten that settled, maybe you're depending on a church affiliation to get you to heaven. That won't get you there. The Catholic Church won't get you there. The Baptist Church won't get you there. There's not a church that's ever been organized that'll get you any closer to heaven. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And can I tell you this morning, that means if you want to be saved and if you realize that you are a sinner, if there needs to be a payment for that, this morning can be your day of salvation. You can experience that mercy. You know it'll cost you nothing. There's nothing you have to give. You can't give an offering to get you into heaven. You can't have somebody pray you in, pray you out. It is free to anybody who will receive it. But it wasn't cheap. It was a great price that was paid. Friend, if I can just relate it like this, and it certainly is not minimizing the illustration I'm going to give, but it doesn't even compare. We live in the great land of the United States of America, and we are free today because of the blood that was shed by those in generations past. We enjoy that freedom. How do you get that freedom? You're just born into it. That doesn't mean freedom came cheap. Shed blood is why we have freedom. And friend, this morning I can stand before you and say, I am a sinner. I deserve hell. My sin as a Baptist preacher would get me to hell just the same way that anybody else's sin. But can I say, I have received the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've received his mercy. It cost me nothing, but it was not cheap. It cost the blood of the perfect Son of God. He shed his blood so that I might have forgiveness and you might have forgiveness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 remind us that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. There are many today, and I'm for giving to the Lord's work, but they say, if I give a big offering, can that get me to heaven? Peter reminds us there in his passage of Scripture, you're not redeemed with silver or gold. You're redeemed with the blood of Christ. Hebrews 9:22 reminds us, without shedding of blood is no remission of sins, meaning there could be no forgiveness without a sacrifice. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. See, the just one died for the unjust. The innocent one suffered for the guilty. See, mercy cost Christ the rejection of men. It cost Christ the crown of thorns. It cost Christ the nails in his hands and feet. It cost Christ the darkness of Calvary and the wrath of God poured out upon him. And perhaps the most heartbreaking cry in all the Bible is found in Matthew 27:46, when Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus experienced abandonment at that moment because all of sin was on him. Because God's wrath was poured out upon him. And may I remind you, that was your sin, my sin. The wrath that you deserve, the wrath that I deserve, was being poured out on the perfect Son of God. And he felt the abandonment that you deserved, that I deserved, so that we might be received. Our Lord experienced wrath so we could experience mercy. Might I remind us what John says in chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The cross says two things at the same time. Your sin was worse than you realized. And God's grace and his mercy is greater than you could ever imagine. Both of those things are true. You know, let's be honest this morning. Everybody else's sin is worse than your sin. That's the way we act. That's the way we live. Well, their sin, that's a problem. But I've got justification for mine. I can explain mine. But friend, it would do us good in this world. Could we all agree that it would do this world good for us to come face to face with what we really are? Come face to face with where we how we fail and come short of God. And friend, you say, well, you're making me feel bad, Pastor. I'm not trying to make you feel bad at all. That is our sin that ought to make us feel uncomfortable. Our sin ought to bring us shame. But let's not forget the other side of that. There's God's mercy. It's greater than all the sin. It's greater than any act that's been done. It's greater than that which keeps you in shame this morning. It is the mercy of an almighty God because Jesus took all of those sins upon himself. Brings us to number four. The cross silences both pride and despair. See, the cross this morning speaks to every person. It speaks to the proud, and it speaks to the despairing. See, let me remind us this morning that the cross silences pride. Maybe you're in here this morning, you've heard everything I've said, but you still think, I'm not that bad. I don't need that much mercy. I'm better than most. But friend, this morning, that's just an illusion. See, the cross destroys that illusion this morning. If you could have been saved by being good enough, Jesus would not have had to die. Romans 3:27 says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. If you could be saved this morning by joining the Emmanuel Baptist Church, by all means, I would open the doors and say, come join the Emmanuel Baptist Church. But then why would we be gathered here on an Easter Sunday? Why would we be celebrating the resurrection of our Savior? Because if church membership could save you, if you could work your way to heaven, there'd be no need for a resurrection. There'd be no need for Calvary. But the friend, we know that the tomb is empty. We know that Christ went to Calvary to pay the sin debt. And we need to push our pride aside and says, well, I've been a good person. I'm not as bad as somebody else. Friend, no matter who you're comparing to, you are not perfect in your righteousness. No man is. Right. And we're reminded in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Does anybody like a braggart? And it's like, wow, I did this. Well, I did that once. You know what I'm talking about? I guess, I don't know why this comes to mind, but maybe some fishermen. And I caught this one this big. I caught one twice that size one time. You got a picture of it? There wasn't cameras in. All I know is it's a white whale. I just didn't have a picture of it. And sometimes we get, and it's like you hear a little child, a little boy, no matter what. Well, I did this, and you say, it's funny at first, but then you get tired of it. Somebody needs to give that boy a reality check. That's kind of like the reality check we need when we say, well, my sin's not as bad as somebody else's sin. I've never done that. See, what the cross does, it says, take your pride and hush. Because if your sin wasn't that bad, Christ would have never had to die. He'd have never suffered. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. No one comes to the cross and says, I earned this. No one comes to the cross and says, I'm owed this. This morning, if you feel humble in the thought of a Savior who would suffer and die for you, you should. Because nobody can ever approach Calvary and say, well, I deserve for Christ to suffer for me. I deserve for him to wear that crown of thorns. Friend, Calvary puts pride out the window. Lest we compare ourselves to the worst of this world and say, I'm not that bad. Friend, let's look the other way. Compare yourself to perfection. Compare yourself to the perfect Son of God. None of us compare. None of us measure up. This morning, the Christ also silences those in despair. Perhaps this morning, you're not one of the proud, but you could say, Pastor, I'm broken. Perhaps you hear all this and you believe the things that I'm saying, but you might think, well, I've gone too far. You preach that God forgives sins, but you don't know the sins that I've committed. There's no hope for me. But I say to you, the cross has an answer for that as well. Romans chapter 5, verse number 20. You ready for this? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. No matter how deep the sin, God's mercy is deeper still. Maybe you're here this morning and say, I wish I'd heard this when I was a child. I wish I would have had the opportunity to receive Christ when I was a child. It would have saved me from all of these things that I've done that I'm not ashamed of. Friend, I can't go back and roll back the clock. I can't change your circumstances. But all I can do is tell you the truth this morning, that there's nobody in so much despair that they cannot be saved by the same way those that were saved as a child. You say, well, I've sinned too much. The Bible says grace is so much bigger than your sin. John 6 verse 37 says, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You know who that includes? That includes you. That includes all. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. 1 John 2:1 says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Matthew 11, 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, the cross says to the despairing, there's enough mercy. There's enough grace. You are not too far gone. The same cross that humbles the proud lifts the broken. Friend, this morning, the cross speaks to every person. Let me, fifthly and finally this morning, because justice was satisfied, mercy is secure. Let me say that again. We need to really make sure we get this. Because justice was satisfied, mercy is secure. See, this is why believers do not have to live in fear that God will someday take His mercy away. God's mercy, hear me this morning, God's mercy is not built on emotion. See, let's be honest, you and I are emotional creatures, aren't we? Men, how many of you are married? Can we say an amen right there? Okay, we're emotional. We're emotional creatures. God's mercy is not built on emotion. Boy, we're, as humanity, it's like, you know, catch me on the right day and I'll be in a good mood and I'll be, don't worry about it. Catch me on a bad day and I'm going to drop the hammer. I remember that growing up, and when I was in school, I was the model student. I was always the best behaved. It's Easter Sunday, y'all. Don't mock me. Well, there's some days it's like the teacher comes in, it's like, oh, I don't know who's spitting her cornflakes, but I'm not testing that today. You know why? Because we're emotional. You caught me on the wrong day. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how heavy a burden. Aren't you glad that we have a God that's not cumbered with the things that we are? His mercy is not emotional. It's not like, well, I don't like you, or you had this position, or you said this about me when you were cursing me that time, and you were shaking your fist at me, or you were living in this way that is contrary to my nature. No, we don't have a God who's built on emotion. We have mercy that is built on the fact that it's the finished work of Christ. When Jesus died, He cried out in John 19:30, "It is finished." What does that mean? That means the debt was paid. That means the work was complete. In Romans 8:1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hear me very carefully. The Bible says there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How many of you are saved this morning? You're in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation.
The devil that comes back to you, reminds you of what you did, you can remind him, hey, it's under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation. Well, man says that I don't measure up. Man's not the ultimate authority. Man's not the judgment. God himself is. And my God does not give mercy based on emotion. He gives mercy based on the fact that his justice is satisfied. It is the finished work. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 10:19 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:17, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Think about that. God doesn't remember your sins and iniquities. They're under the blood of Christ. Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. If you're not saved this morning, you are not at peace with God. That's not my word, that's God's word. But if you would accept Christ's payment for your sins, you could be forever at peace with God. Romans 8:33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. See, friend, because justice has already been satisfied, mercy is secure. We don't have to wonder whether God will change his mind. We don't have to fear that somehow he's going to run out of grace. The blood has been shed, the debt has been paid, the work is finished. And because of that, the believer can stand with confidence and say, my mercy is secure because my Savior's work is complete. I close this morning with a reminder of what some of us need to see more clearly, and that's our sin. Perhaps we've spoken lightly of mercy. We've forgotten what it cost. Others this morning need to see mercy more clearly. Because we have lived as though our failures were greater than the cross. I'm convinced of them. There are people today who don't think they can be saved from their sin. They don't think they could ever be forgiven. Not because they think they're good enough for forgiveness. It's because they know what they are, what they've done. And they think there's no coming back from it. Hear me very clearly this morning. Psalms 85 brings us all to the same place, to Calvary, where mercy and truth met, where righteousness and peace kissed, where justice was satisfied, and where mercy flowed. See, the cross is not God lowering his standards. The cross is God loving you enough to meet the need for justice himself. God knowing that you, the only way that you and I could ever pay for our sins is to pay for an eternity suffering and burning in hell forever. It's not God's will that any should perish. It's because of our sin. That's the only way to satisfy the justice of God, except for Calvary. Because at Calvary, it's where God's justice and his mercy met. In God himself as his son, who lived a sinless life, born of a virgin, went willingly to a cross and took upon him the sins of all men. And God poured out his wrath in that judgment and satisfied that justice himself. So now all you and I have to do is receive his mercy gladly and say, I know I'm not good enough. I know I could never do it on my own. I know there's no way I can get there except for receiving the mercy of God. And friend, this morning we're thankful the story does not end at the cross. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave. The resurrection is heaven's declaration that the payment was accepted. Have you ever been trying to make a payment? And you pull out your wallet and you pull out a card. I'm going to illustrate this well and release some of my frustration because I'm married with 3 daughters. And it's like, try that one. Declined.
Good night. What are they doing? Try that one. Well, that's the one Amazon's on. I know that one's not working. You ever been there? How helpless do you feel? Well, I know there was money in there. Or no, it's over the limit. You're there and everybody's looking at you. What do you do? You ever been there? But when it goes through, it's like, the payment went through. Friend, we can talk about God's mercy and God's grace and God's justice. And I have thrown a lot out of Scripture out to you this morning. But we look at the resurrection, it's heaven's declaration that the payment is sufficient. The payment was accepted. The shed blood of Christ is enough for all mankind. And Jesus gave up his life. Man did not take his life. Man doesn't have the capability to take the life of the Son of God. He gave his life willingly, having put upon himself the sins of all mankind. And he gave up the ghost, as the Scripture tells us. Those soldiers take him down. He is put into a borrowed tomb. They sealed it up. They didn't believe he was going to come back, but they sealed it up. And they put soldiers, the guard, out there just in case. And on that third day, Jesus came forth out of that tomb. He rolled that stone away, and he had in his hands, the Scripture tells us, the keys of death and hell, meaning he had conquered death, he had conquered hell, and that resurrection day was heaven saying, my justice has been met. The payment has been accepted. He lives. He is risen. He is not here. And friend, this morning, you can have forgiveness of your sins, having satisfied the justice of God by receiving the mercy of the same God. See, if Christ had remained in the grave, we'd still wonder if the debt had truly been paid. That's why you can look at every religion, every founder of every religion, you will find a risen Savior. Because for man to make the payment, man's got to suffer all of eternity. See, if Christ remained in the grave, we'd still wonder if the debt had truly been paid. But because he rose, we know sin has been conquered. Death has been defeated. The payment has been accepted. Mercy is now forever available to all who will come. Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The cross proves that Christ died for our sins. See, friend, this morning, mercy is not built on a dead Savior who tried. Mercy is built on a risen Savior who finished the work. That is why we can leave with confidence, knowing justice has been satisfied, mercy has been secured. That empty tomb is the everlasting proof. Friend, this morning we close the service reminded of that place where mercy and justice met. Justice demanding payment for sin. Reminded this morning that we're all sinners. Everybody you come in contact with is just like you, a sinner. But friend, there's just two kinds of sinners on this planet. There's saved and there's lost sinners. There's those who have accepted and received the mercy of God and those who have rejected it. And friend, this morning the Scripture has presented to you a Savior who paid that price for you and for me. In just a moment, we're going to bow our heads. We'll conclude the service. But I want you to think just for a moment about mercy and justice. The fact that as a sinner, God knowing that you and I, the only way that we could satisfy that payment is by suffering in that eternal place of suffering called hell. They've already reminded us it's not his will that any should perish. That means that there's none that he's predestined to hell, none he's predestined to heaven. It's not his will that any should perish. Friend, this morning, all you must do is accept Christ, that payment. How silly would it be
To go back to that silly illustration, if I pull out these cards and say, will you take that one? No, that didn't go through. And will you take this one? That one didn't go through either. For somebody in line to step forward and say, here, take my payment. And to say, oh no, I'll not let anybody make a payment for me. Okay, fool, stand there and not get what you need. But it's what we do. We take it out and say, I know I'm a sinner. Will you take my good works? Nope, that doesn't go through. Will you take my church membership? Oh, that won't go through. Well, I got baptized as a baby. Oh, that's not going through either. But you got one in the perfect Son of God who said, I came and I lived perfectly on this earth. I laid myself down. I took upon myself your sins. I shed my blood. I satisfied the Father in heaven. His justice has been met. Take my payment. And friend, there are two kinds. Some with joy in here that says, thanks be to God that has somebody who cared enough. When my payment wouldn't work, when I couldn't get there myself, and they stepped in and said, I'll take care of it. I have the ability to do that. And then there are those who have too much pride to say, oh no, I'll take care of it myself. Friend, you can pay for your own sin debt, but there's only one way to do it. And that's eternal anguish in that place called hell. And friend, I would submit to you this morning, why would we ever go to a place like that? When we have a merciful God who sent his Son to pay his sin debt. He says, for whosoever shall come, whosoever shall call, and he will reject no man who calls on him. Our heads are bowed this morning as we think about